So I'll be looking at random processes on regular graphs with large girth. And this is joint work with Carlos Hoppen. I'll say a little bit more about that, how it evolved during the talk. But to start off, we've already heard a little bit about independent sets from Balázs this morning. What if we ask for what's the guarantee for the maximum independent set we can give in a D-regular graph? You can see easily that here's an example with D equals 3, there's only one, and you can make copies of that. So it's easy to get that the maximum possible is N over D plus 1, or the maximum you can guarantee. Because disjoint cliques have that largest independent set. So my alpha is the size of an independent set, and the big delta is, of course, the maximum degree. But if a graph is triangle-free, then and the large enough average degree, then you get larger independent sets. Itai Komlosh Semeradi showed this in 1981, and you get roughly n log d over constant times d for a guaranteed size of an independent set. You can ask what happens if you impose further restrictions on the graph, and also what happens for D-regular graphs. So instead of average degree, look at, say, maximum degree or D-regular. And Shearer got these results in 91, showing that there's a recurrence for a constant, and you're going to get at least that constant times n, sort of a constant, for a fixed d that's a constant, that constant times n is a guaranteed size of an independent set that you can find in a D-regular graph that's triangle-free. He also showed that if you're allowed to insist that the graph has arbitrarily large girth, so for a D-regular I'm allowed to say the graph has some very large girth as a function of D, then I can get close to a result that looks the same, except you start with different initial conditions, and the asymptotic value is around n log d over d, the value of this bound. So they're guaranteed in large girth graphs that are D-regular. Of course, it works if you delete a few vertices. If you say the maximum degree is d, then you get the same. You can give the same bound. We've heard a little bit about random regular graphs. So I'll be looking at slightly different aspects, but in some sense very similar to what Balázs was talking about, but with a different aim. So we're looking at, I'm calling GND, the space of random D-regular graphs with equal probabilities, and I say AAS when I mean WHP or something goes to 1 as n goes to infinity in probability. And there was this result that Balázs and I showed, that the probability a random D-regular graph has girth at least G tends to a constant. It's not 0 and it's not 1. As long as G is bigger than 3, it's not 1. These are simple graphs, by the way. And there's only a small number of vertices in short cycles. So something I mentioned yesterday in the talk and Balázs mentioned today, that locally a random D-regular graph looks just like a tree, a D-regular tree. Now, Balázs showed that, for instance, for independent sets, the independent set size in the random case is at most 2n log d over d. This is twice the asymptotic bound that I mentioned that Shearer gave for this large girth case. But anyway, what we can deduce from this right away, since there's a positive probability of having large girth, and almost all the graphs have independent sets at most is 2n log d over d, then the large girth graphs, at least some of them don't have this, well, most of them don't have this such a large independent set, because they form a positive proportion of the space.
If you only have a small number of cycles, that doesn't affect asymptotically the size of the independent set, does it?
No. No, it doesn't affect it. But at the moment, I'm just deducing that since the large girth, this is step one. Okay, this is step one. The thing you can immediately say without even thinking, just from the probability thing. No, the step two is on the next page.
Okay.
Yeah. We can get some results on the random graphs from the deterministic ones. So this is sort of a bit more, maybe taking another step. The random graphs only have a few cycles, so the cycles shouldn't matter much when you're looking at things like large independent sets if you're comparing the random graphs to the large girth graphs. We can translate, in fact, this is a well-known way to translate from the large girth case to the random case. You can just take the random graph, look for the short cycles, say delete those vertices, then you've got a graph with large girth and it has maximum degree D, and you use shear as a result to find a large independent set in this graph. Okay? And then you can, in that independent set, you threw away some vertices, but they don't really matter. Order log n vertices. So the independent set in the original graph might be slightly smaller, but anyway, it'll be at least that big. Okay, so the log n constant doesn't, the log n term doesn't affect the constant, whatever it was that Shearer gave. So the results from the large girth graphs give you results on random graphs. But that's going from a deterministic result to one about random graphs. What if we just look at the random graphs and say, what can we prove about those? Well, historically, we can get better results by looking at some greedy algorithms. You can find large independent sets in random regular graphs greedily, and the result I got in 95 was that you get this constant here, beta 1 times n, for a lower bound for size of independent sets in random regular graphs. And the proof, the algorithm that shows it is easy. You just randomly choose vertices and throw them into the independent set. You don't choose ones that are not allowed. And that's it. You analyze it, and you get this result. I talked about the analysis of these sort of things yesterday, but it's just by a differential equation method, say. And I'll say a little bit more about it in a minute. But just for now, that's the result that you get, a nice clean formula. But you can get better results by getting smarter algorithms. Suppose you pick the vertex that looks good in some sense. If you're picking the one by one, pick a vertex that has low degree in whatever's left over after you've deleted the vertices that you've chosen and deleted all the ones that are not allowed anymore. So a minimum degree vertex. I call that the degree greedy algorithm. I analyse that in the same paper and by solving differential equations. So you can solve the differential equations numerically, and it seems to give better bounds for the cases that are solved than the other results. So the first column was from Shearer's result. The second column was from the simple greedy algorithm, which is better than Shearer's result after about 7, d equals 7. And the third column, we don't have an analytic formula for what that is, so it's not quite known what it is, what it gives. But it looks better. And actually, if you look at the numbers, it looks like it's about halfway between the log d over d and the upper bound 2 log d over d. But the halfway is getting a bit suspicious by the time you get to 100 vertices. So I want to now go from random to large girth. So we have random results on the random graphs. Now, the random graphs have an appreciable piece that are the large girth graphs. So we know the large girth graphs also have these large independent sets. So that's immediate. So this way you get some results that were better than Shearer's on existence of independent sets in most large girth graphs. You can also do similar things with dominating sets. Look at the random graphs and see what sort of algorithms. There are these algorithms that find good dominating sets, say small, in this case, dominating sets. And you can say, you know, therefore, you know, almost all three regular graphs, for instance, have a dominating set of size 0.28n, where n's always the number of vertices. Okay, so we can get these results and we can deduce things about most, almost all large Gauss graphs, but this doesn't tell us about all the large Gauss graphs, regular graphs. To see what we can do about that, I want to mention an algorithm that's analysed in the book The Probabilistic Method by Alon and Spencer. This result's attributed to Alon, semicolon, folklore. I think that was after I talked to Noga to get it right. Okay, suppose you have a graph with minimum degree at least D. You can get a small dominating set by randomly choosing vertices with probability P each, put them into the set, and then, let's observe what's happened so far. The expected size of the set we've chosen so far is exactly N times P. And then, whatever's left over, that's not covered by those. So a dominating set has to have a vertex adjacent to everything not in the dominating set. So some vertices maybe were not covered in that first round, so you just throw them all into the set as well. And you can get an upper bound on how many are expected to be added in the second step. And then by linearity of expectation, you know the expected size of the set you've got is this, and you can optimize over P's to get minimize that expression. And some, by first moment principle, some dominating set has size at most equal to the expected value. There's an example. For D equals 3, this gives 0.527. If you think about it for a couple of minutes, you should be able to realize that for, say, three regular graphs, you can easily show there's an upper bound of 0.5. So this method gives some bound. It gets better as D gets bigger. It gets more useful for bigger D. Okay, so summary of what's happened so far. The deterministic results can carry over, if they're the right sort of property, to the random D-regular graphs. But the greedy algorithms that we've been looking at do obtain better results than those deterministic of the sort that, say, Shearer got. And from that result we just looked at on maximum dominating sets, some greedy algorithms actually give useful results for all graphs, not just random graphs. It was a proof about all graphs. By using a random structure inside the graph, if you liked, randomly chosen vertices. So there's a strategic question. Can we possibly strengthen results on random graphs so they apply to all graphs? Or at least some nice large subset of all graphs. Of course, you can't in general. And I wouldn't ask this question unless there was some kind of answer that was positive. So there's a but here. There is a case where we can do things, and it's in the case of large Gauss graphs, for D-regular graphs. So if you remember, the beta 1 was from the simple greedy algorithm. That was the constant you get for an independent set in a random D-regular graph. Now, for D at least 3 and epsilon greater than 0, you can basically achieve, within epsilon of that result, for all D-regular graphs with sufficiently large girth. So if you give me an epsilon, I'll tell you what girth to take to get that result. So this is a result of mine with Joe Lauer in almost 10 years ago that it came out. And the proof was by analysing it. It was motivated by the proof that I just showed, the one by Alon and Folklore, that simple two-step algorithm. We extended that to multi-steps. You take many, many rounds. And you can look at it as trying to apply the simple greedy algorithm of picking vertices one at a time, but doing a whole lot at once in a round. Actually, there are better results known for D smaller than 6, or there were anyway, of course, from Shearer, but for D bigger than 7, this gave new results. Carlos Hoffman and I used a similar result for maximal induced forests. And these arguments are just proving no sharp concentration involved. You just look at the expected value of the set that comes out at the end of the algorithm. Now, I want to say something about trying to generalize this. These are two particular algorithms, but there are many algorithms known that achieve nice results for, if you're interested in finding what is the, you know, a certain property of three regular or four regular graphs that are large girth. Quite a few results around, and getting, if you look at the random case, for the random regular graphs, a lot of them didn't look quite like the ones that we're analyzing here. They didn't correspond to, let's say this one here, the one with Shearer, or with Lauer, corresponded to that simple greedy algorithm. And the maximal induced forest corresponded to another simple greedy algorithm there. But a lot of algorithms don't look like that. They're one at a time, like the degree greedy algorithm. What happens in one step affects what happens in the next step. So the question was, in my mind for a few years actually, how can we actually mimic those other more powerful algorithms and get better results for large girth graphs that are deregular? Well, we can show in a general way that the bounds that you get for the large girth, for the random case, carry over to the large girth case for many of these algorithms that have been used to prove things for random graphs. The proof depends a little bit on the algorithms. And the way we approach it, we prove some things using the random graph results and just put them through a little handle and a little machine, and then out pops the result for large girth graphs. In proving all this, we use some features of the proofs that were developed for the random graphs. So to describe the approach in some sort of simple terms, we define some set of algorithms that I'll call chunky LDA at the moment. I'll tell you what that means in a minute. And these algorithms, when you apply them to a random graph, you get sharply concentrated results for whatever set you're looking for. That's part one. And then the second thing they have is that if you apply one of these algorithms it's randomized, of course, to a graph with large girth that's deregular as well. Everything here is deregular. If you apply it to a large girth graph, if the girth's large enough, then the expected size of the output is exactly some number that doesn't depend on the graph. It might sound like it's a lot to ask for, but you know, if you were paying attention in Balazs's talk this morning, you'll realize that... when do I want to say this? Yeah. Okay. Maybe in a minute I'll say that. What do we do with this once we have it? If you just take n goes to infinity, you can easily deduce that the B there equals the C. That's because the large girth graphs have positive probability. One thing's concentrated and the other things are constant. Okay, yeah, so getting back to how this works. So these algorithms are actually factor of IID random variables. And from that you can deduce that that they behave the same on all large girth graphs and basically the same on the random graphs, because the random graphs look like large girth graphs except for a few short cycles. Okay, so the whole point to our what we're doing in our approach is to actually get values for what these algorithms produce, and useful values for what the B or what the C is. So there's a couple of things we need these algorithms that we're going to use to satisfy. Oh, yeah, I guess I didn't finish here. What we can deduce from these things. The bottom line is that all deregular graphs with large girth will have a set of size at least Cn plus or minus epsilon n. Yes?
So just quick to clarify. So you showed that 1 and 2 implies that the algorithms are factors of IID?
Oh. No. The algorithms we're going to define are of that type. Okay, the factor of IID. But we have to put extra constraints on them. We want them to do certain things. So the fact that they're factor of IID, you know, the fact these facts here are fairly easy to show about these algorithms, right? And we're constrained in which ones we want to use.
So 1 and 2 follows from the fact that
the factors of IID. Yeah. 1 and 2 follow from it. Okay, so these are algorithms called chunky LDAs. The two sort of things in general that we want from them. One thing is we want to be able to compute the constant C up there so we know what size sets we're getting, so we can tell people, a large Gauss graph will have, a deregular graph will have an independent set of size, whatever. And then, because sometimes these things imply other things and the C matters sometimes. And the other thing is we want these things to somehow mimic those degree greedy algorithm and so on, these powerful, more powerful greedy algorithms that we've been using for random regular graphs. We want them to get the same constant out as these algorithms. Now, these other algorithms are not, factor of IID or whatever, but we want to mimic those. So this LDA is what we call a local deletion algorithm, and it's the deletion bit that makes it possible to compute the function, the values of the size of the output sets in a fairly straightforward manner, and also to do the other property that I wanted to have. Okay, so basically, I'll describe them as say four things. There are n steps, big n steps. And in step T, you do four things, four sub-steps. First of all, you select at random, or somehow, a set of vertices in the graph that I'll call seeds. You might only select one. So there's some rule called a selection rule to produce these seeds. And then around each seed, you explore in a nice way using some local rule, some neighborhood that's bounded distance away from your seed. There's a clash step which just says if two of the explored neighborhoods hit each other, or if an explored neighborhood isn't a tree, then you basically throw those vertices away. You don't want them to interfere with anything. And then an insertion step. Once you've done all these explorations, look at the ones that you did not throw away, and with each vertex in the explored area, basically, give it, either say that's an output vertex. I'm simplifying things here. Either say it's an output vertex, or maybe what... Oh, and then what you can do is colour some of the vertices. But then we want to delete the explored vertices. Actually, what we do is delete the explored edges. But I'll simplify things and say that we delete all vertices whose neighbours we explored. Now, when you explore a vertex, you ask what degrees do my neighbours have, and once you know that, it's regarded as being explored, and you don't explore a neighbour until you say, okay, let's go up that edge and explore that vertex. Okay, so the degree greedy algorithm would fit into this for the independent sets, because what you do in step one is select randomly a vertex of minimum degree. And then in the exploration, you go to its neighbours and then explore them, and then delete all those vertices, the vertex and its neighbours.
What do you do with the clash vertices?
Throw them away. Throw them away, all the clash vertices.
Throw away all the clash.
Yeah. There's only a small number of them because of what we do. Yeah. They don't affect things.
Yeah. I mean, this is a general thing. Are there going to be a... Are you going to pick things so that there's little...
Yeah, we're going to pick things so the clashes don't matter. There's so few of them, yeah. Any other questions? Okay, so there's two things I want to explain here. There's this local rule for exploring, and later the selection rule. I'll say a bit more about that. So the local rule for exploring, so here's a seed V that we chose. We apply a local sub-rule repeatedly. This is in order to make the analysis of the constant C, straightforward. So you have to have some local sub-rule that says, okay, I choose a vertex I've got, like V, that I've found, and I do some local exploration near it. We might check out the degree of that neighbour, we find it's 2. Then the next step, this is another application of the local subrule. We might try to find another neighbor, find its degree. And then based on those, we can do some randomization and choose which one to explore further and find, you know, what its neighbor's degree is, and then just continue for a while. And we have some rule to say when we stop. This one stopped at this point. And then we can colour some of the vertices that we're not going to delete if we like. And we can use colours inside the rules. So you can colour them with whatever you like. You can colour a vertex with that tells you all about the little tree that I've just found here if you like. So it's fairly general. And then you've got to delete all the vertices, all the edges that you've explored. So we might as well delete all those. And we can choose a vertex to output once we've seen what the neighbourhood is. So that's our output vertex. It goes into the output set. So you do that for all the seeds all at once in one round. Now, so selection rule, it could be something like pick a random vertex of degree I, but we don't use, well, we use that one sometimes in proofs, but for these things called chunky local deletion algorithms, the selection rule will be to say, you look at each vertex remaining, look at its degree, and you choose that vertex with probability PJT independently of all vertices, with all vertices. So you get a whole slab of vertices, and they're the seeds. So these Ps you get to choose in advance, the PJTs. And by choosing the PJTs correctly and defining the local rule correctly, we'll be able to make this algorithm sort of follow along what a degree greedy algorithm does or something like that. So how do you use them? Oh, okay. So for a given local rule, you can describe in terms of the rule a system of different... Easily described means there's a straight translation from the rule into a set of differential equations. And those functions f, j, I are determined by the rule, of course, such that we can actually construct these chunky local deletion algorithms with that local rule. And such that they have the local rule and their performance is described by the solutions of the differential equations. When I say performance is described, I mean if you want to know how many vertices there are of given degrees at a given time, then the differential equations, the yj's, will tell you how many vertices there are of degree j at time t over n, where t is...
Let's go off on the scaling here.
Yep.
Are you on the first step picking the positive proportion?
Yeah, yeah. So in these ones,
yeah,
we're picking a positive proportion because the p's are actual number, positive numbers.
Nibble, in a way.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a nibble. So we're going to have a fixed number of rounds, and each round we're picking up a positive proportion.
A fixed number of rounds, isn't it a difference equation rather than a differential equation?
It is. Well, it would be, but we define differential equations. We have differential equations coming naturally from the degree greedy algorithm, etc.
Yeah.
And what we want to do is get close to the same differential equations. So you see, what you get here is you would get difference equations, but they're within epsilon n of the differential equations.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Okay, so there's this target differential equations, and this process gets within epsilon n of it. So it's approximating the differential equation system. So differential equations tell you what degrees the vertices have as the process goes through. Well, they're trying to tell you that. And also they tell you there's a differential equation for the size of the output set. So you know how big you're getting at the end. Whoops. That was... Now, what else? There's another thing about these algorithms is that they're chunky local deletion algorithms, so they're these factor of IID things, so automatically the differential equation system in the same way also describes their performance on all D-regular graphs of Gauss at least some G of epsilon. Okay, so you know that these algorithms have expected values the same on all the large Gauss graphs, and you know that those values are given by these differential equations. That's how we're going to use them. Okay, so how do we... Oh. Yeah, that's for a local rule. We need to somehow get close to a given algorithm like the degree greedy algorithm. So these differential equations come from the local rule. Yeah, but this doesn't say anything about, if I'm given a degree greedy algorithm, say, something with priorities, I choose a given vertex depending on what its degree is. This doesn't say how to find one of these chunky local deletion algorithms that represents that degree greedy algorithm. And in order to do that, what we do what I call deprioritizing the given degree greedy algorithm. So the chunky local deletion algorithms are waiting out in the wings there, ready to get used on my degree greedy algorithm. But this algorithm that says choose a vertex of min degree is sort of jerky. Sometimes the min degree is 5, sometimes it's 6. It jumps around in what it does. Okay, so the degree greedy algorithm itself is not a chunky local deletion algorithm. But we can do something that I introduced in a paper some time ago for the random case. So I call it deprioritizing. Instead of choosing the min degree each time, you define some functions which tell you with what probability you're going to choose a given vertex or a given degree vertex. Let's say Q. So Qi of T over N is the probability of choosing a vertex of degree I at time T. In this one by one step algorithm. So instead of always choosing the min degree, you just choose with probabilities. Now you can choose those Qs so that it copies the behavior of the degree greedy algorithm when you apply it to random deregular graphs. So you look at the degree greedy algorithm, you look at, you know, what's the probability you think that it'd be choosing a vertex of degree 3 at this point? Well, you assign that probability to the Q. Okay, so I did that in 03. For a general class of prioritized algorithms, I show how to, you know, degree greedy type algorithms for various, general ones. There wasn't any particular problem in mind there, although I had satisfied general constraints, and showed that how to get this deprioritizing to get the same results. And those algorithms are amenable in the following sense. So, and I'm going to define amenability for any local deletion algorithm. It's an amenable deprioritized algorithm. It's the selection rule is of this nice form that you have these. So the selection rule has to say what you do at every, how do you select vertices at every step. And you're going to select vertices with given degrees, with given probabilities, and they'll just be according to some predefined functions defined. In terms of you take the function of t over n, and that tells you the probability. The pi of t over n with a tilde will tell you the probability of choosing a vertex of degree I at step t. And then once you've done, once you've chosen which vertex you're going, so the p's add to 1. So this is just a prescription for telling you what degree vertex am I going to choose. And then in the second part, once I've decided the degree, I just choose one of the vertices of that degree uniformly at random. So I just continue on with this. So it's a one-step-by-one-step, step-by-step algorithm doing one vertex at a time, but it's smoother than the degree-greedy algorithm. Now, that's an amenable deprioritized algorithm. They're amenable because we can chunkify them, we can cut them into chunks and make sure that they behave more or less. The chunkified version will behave like the original prioritized algorithm, even before deprioritizing. Given an epsilon, we can define a chunky local deletion algorithm that basically behaves the same as that smoothed out deprioritized algorithm. Everything's within epsilon, but epsilon can be made as small as you like. So just a little picture of it. This is the now I remember why I had dots here. So this is a discrete algorithm. Maybe that's it. Okay, so that's the amenable deprioritized algorithm, taking steps for finding independent sets in a random three regular graph. And you're seeing the number of vertices of degree 0, 1, and 2. Now, that's been deprioritized. Actually, part of the deprioritization is that we do some steps at the start to ensure there's lots of vertices of every degree. And then we start, and then we continue with the usual sort of rules. So that got chunkified, which means we take chunks and we just define a certain probability for choosing the degrees within that chunk, and you choose a whole lot at once. It's a chunky local deletion algorithm. So you do several rounds. In each round, you choose vertices with given probabilities, and you can see that we get quite close to the solutions of the original differential equations. Okay, so once we've done all that, how am I going for time? 10 minutes, yeah? Okay. Once we've done that, we can recycle results from random regular graphs, because all the deprioritized algorithm in that old paper of mine are of this amenable type. Okay, so all the results there, and from everyone quoting those theorems, proving things about random regular graphs, all those things apply to large girth regular graphs. And that includes the degree greedy algorithm for independent sets and the best known algorithms for dominating sets in random regular graphs. K independent sets and so on. So quite a few problems involved there. And they're all the best known results as far as I know, except for those problems, except for independent sets if D is 3 or 4. Then on top of those ones that follow immediately from an old paper, there are some other existing results using algorithms, prioritized sort of algorithms, and they didn't prove the thing using a deprioritization, but you can easily or straightforwardly deprioritize them and get an amenable deprioritized algorithm that's doing the job you need, and then you can deduce the result you want. So you look at the algorithms that were used for random regular graphs, tweak them a bit, and then deduce the result you want. So you can do that for, min and max bisection and several other problems. Okay. Now, then there's... I want to say a little bit... This is a bit of a story about this, because there's some interaction between the work that I'm reporting here and some work of other people. And basically, the way it goes is that I think there was a bit more interest after some early work that I did with Carlos, and people started getting better results, so maybe motivated by the work, looking harder at what sort of algorithms you can find to prove things about large girth graphs, and with that extra effort, finding better algorithms that then also apply to the random case as well. So in his thesis, the very early work in Carlos's thesis, the proofs were using the expectation arguments only and not relating to the random regular graphs. But in his thesis, one thing that happened is in his thesis he improved the maximum induced forests using a new prioritized algorithm. But quite a lot happened with independent sets. So Kardos, Kral and Volec considered his thesis and adapted the approach to get a better sort of souped up degree greedy algorithm, an algorithm that looks further into... Actually, they didn't express it this way as a local rule, but the local rule looks further out and gets a better lower bound for max independent set in three regular graphs of large girth. This was then improved, not long after, by Tsoka, Gerencha, Harangi and Virag, by looking at the deregular tree, and they got a slight improvement. They had some simulations, not a rigorous result, that suggested 0.438n maybe is what you could get from their argument. Hopper and I considered the Kardos, Kral, Volec result and showed how you can get it directly just using this method that I've been just talking about. You look at the algorithm, what they were doing was more or less simulating a prioritized algorithm. So if you just consider that prioritized algorithm and just consider deprioritizing it, then it's quite straightforward to obtain the result they got, and you get an analytic. They didn't have an analytic value for it. They just sort of solved some equations iteratively. But you get an analytically a value for the result they get there. And we use an improved prioritized algorithm to get another new record. You can measure how big these records are. A new record then. That value is, you can write down a rational function and integrate it from 0 to 1, and that's the value, the constant there. I want to mention the University of Texas at Austin. There's an unpublished result from Dan Fernholz's PhD thesis here in 07 that actually gives an even better result than all these. It was only published in his thesis and not, for some reason, not, I think he went off into private industry. That was only for the random case, okay, random regular graphs. And Carlos and I were thinking about maybe extending what we were doing to get to show how this... He does an operation there that doesn't fit into the structure of the local algorithms in an obvious way. The local rule that we use in an obvious way. We were thinking about working on getting that into the framework of things, but Andre Tsoka did even better, actually using some kind of similar concept to what Dan Fernholz did. Now, I'm not going to talk about those because this is a very recent preprint. I'm sure Andre will be talking about his results in some conferences somewhere. But he found a better prioritized algorithm, and he used our machinery to then show that you get large girth graphs with this large independent set. The upper bound, the best you can possibly show is 0.4, around 0.455, I think. And he obtained a result for 4 regular as well. So some recent results occurring there. By the way, so there's a preprint on the archive of the work I'm talking about from a couple of years ago. We've improved things a little bit in the... we've got another example or two, I think, in our final version. There are also improvements for Max Kart, Kartos Kralin Volit. It's another well-studied parameter in graph theory. Kartos Kralin Volit improved the lower bound that was known in 3 regular graphs. All these improvements are only in 3 and 4 regular. So this is in 3 regular. Carlos and I then looked at what they did and again found there was essentially a prioritized algorithm there hiding in what they did, and you can obtain their result using the general machinery fairly easily. And Andre in his preprint also improved the max cut result. So these constants are constantly changing. So I just want to finish with saying, what are some of the remaining questions? Of course, you can try to generalize to other things. Things like Boolean formulae look a bit like graphs, and if anyone's interested, I'm sure you can prove some results that look something like what we've been doing here for large girth Boolean formulae, which I've never heard anyone talk about before. I guess I was, after the result with Joe Lau, I was asking a fuzzy sort of question like this: are random regular graphs more or less the same as regular graphs with large girth? And Balazs asked this question in a more precise and better way earlier today already. But you can sort of think, what's the essential difference? And I want to finish with saying, what about chromatic number? This is one case where we use prioritized algorithms to get results that don't seem to carry over to the large girth case. Is it something that's different between large girth graphs and random regular graphs, or is this just a feature of our limited methods at the moment? But I do have this conjecture. Now, we know that random four regular graphs are three colorable. Asymptotically almost surely, the random ones. And it seems reasonable to conjecture that for a sufficiently large girth, a 4 regular graph has to be 3 colorable. Okay, I think that's all. Yeah, okay, thanks.
Some questions, I'm thinking of finding the largest clique in the random group of peoples I have, where most people feel that the algorithms are not going to work. I mean, they're not, at least nobody's found an algorithm that's going to find the biggest clique. But for these kind of problems, I mean, would you suspect that whatever the actual answer is, there'll be an algorithm that gets within epsilon of it?
An algorithm. No. Well, so it's known that the factor of IID algorithms can't find independent sets larger than... That was Germanic and Sudan result. That they can't get within... They only can get within a factor of two of the maximum, a factor of a half of the maximum.
A
chunky LDI happens to be a special case of a factor of IID. So if you ask for chunky LDAs, we know the answer. If you ask for the things, the analogs of degree greedy, then it's not so clear. Some of those, what we show is we can approximate them with chunky LDAs, but it would be interesting to know which of those greedy step-by-step algorithms can be approximated by the chunky ones. That's not clear. So maybe So it's known that some algorithms can't do what you want, but it's not clear at all, you know, when to stop asking questions about, you know, which algorithms can achieve results that you want. I mean, not sure exactly what problems you're thinking of. What properties you're asking about.
So where's the real bottleneck in your analysis? Where do you really exploit this large girth? Is it sort of this deletion step, or is it...
Where do you exploit the large girth?
Where is it really needed?
It's really needed to show... Well, we're computing the actual constant, right? If the graph had smaller girth, then the constant would presumably change.
But say in your proof...
They get messed up. In the proof... Yeah, in the proof, okay. So basically, to give an idea of where large girth comes in the proof, we're doing this algorithm in rounds, and say you do, you know, 100 rounds, and in each round, around a vertex, you look to distance 10, then you want girth at least 1,000 or more, so that you know that things don't affect each other, so that things are more or less independent.
So if there are no more questions, then I think it's good to go.